It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. I'm excited, super excited to have you guys here. It's a blessing. It really is. This is the, we call it the season, if you will, right? Where we're talking about Thanksgiving, things we're grateful for. We have the Christmas celebration coming up. We have multiple holidays that are coming up. I think Passover has passed over. And then we also have Hanukkah. And, there's a bunch of different celebrations. All of those celebrations have one theme in common, that is to be grateful, right? To be grateful for our blessings. And I mean this sincerely, I am grateful for the opportunity that we have to bring you this show. It is a massive blessing in my life, and I hope it's been a blessing in your life that we're able to bring people to help your business and your life and your money and your health become better, right? And so anyway, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate the opportunity that we have, that I have every day to interview people from all over the world, different industries, and, to have fun bringing you these interviews, right? So it's just a blast. And I appreciate it very much. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with the messages that I receive. And so I'm grateful for that. And again, if you haven't done it, by the way, if you want to interact with me, I'm available on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. And of course, don't forget, please subscribe to youtube.com/Bert J. Martinez. Let's connect that way. Catch some of these videos that I'm putting out. And we're going to be doing more and more with videos. So it's really a great place to catch up. By all means, do that. All right. So let's see. What do we have? What's going on? Oh, the tax bill. That's the thing that's got me a little miffed. The tax bill has passed. So I made this comment. Anytime that our government rushes through something, even when they don't rush through something, things don't work out well. And there's all these little hidden clauses and all these, interest groups, right? That get benefits, all this little detail that we don't hear about till years later. And of course, this is no different, right? So this is worse because they rushed through it. They wouldn't let people see it, or I guess technically they allowed them to see it, but they didn't have time to do any kind of QA or anyway. Bottom line is it was rushed. The good news is that theoretically it's gonna help corporate taxes, right? Bad news is it doesn't look like it's going to be good for working class people like you and me, right? Now, I say working class because until you break a certain level of income, that's what we are. And I don't care whether you're at the $100,000 level or at the $500,000 level, you're still working class. Now, granted, you might be upper working class, but you're still working class. And so until you're able to, first of all, replace all of your income with passive income, guess what? In my opinion, you're working class. As long as you have to show up on some level to make sure that your business runs, your job gets done, that your paycheck happens, then you are working class. Now, granted, you may not be blue collar. You might be a white collar working class, but you're still working class. Come on. Let's just get real. And so the average person doesn't sound like they're going to benefit from this package. But if your business, if you're paying a lot of taxes in business, then you're going to enjoy it. I think it's going to be a great package for corporate taxation. They're going to reduce it greatly. And I think that that might be a win. And of course, the thought behind that is businesses are able to save on taxation. They're going to be able to put more out there, right? They hire more people because they have extra money to do so. They are able to spend more on marketing and advertising, on product development. So those are good benefits. There's, nothing wrong with hiring more people, putting more people to work. And, that's really what is going to continue to grow our economy. And I am trying to hunt down our first guest for today, our only guest for today. So just bear with me one second. I just want to make sure that we get this going. And bottom line is, look, if we're able to grow the economy, we're going to be able to do that, you know, by being able to hire more people, being able to sell more goods. And so reducing our taxes that way is not a bad idea. My whole point is that it can't be just so one-sided where there's no balance and checks, right? So we have a check and balance type of system. But of course, when individuals are shoved out of the way and are not given a chance, then that breaks the system. And of course, the only reason anybody would do that is because they're trying to sneak something in. And that can never be good. Just one of those things. I'm a little miffed by it. Give me your thoughts, what you think. Maybe you loved it. Maybe you don't care. Let's see, waiting for Mark. I apologize. It's hard for me to talk and type. Bear with me on that. So anyway, bottom line is, look, I'm all for lowering taxes as long as it's going to help everybody. And I'm against government pushing something through, hiding stuff. It's just never good. And as I was saying before, they don't do a good job when they do take their time and try to do it right. In this case, Now, whether or not you voted for Trump, this is one of the things that clearly shows you that Mr. Trump is no different than any other politician. I haven't seen him do anything drastically different, right? And I don't think we're going to see that. In this case here, we have a Republican who is I think it's going to push all the Republican agendas that he can push forward. And again, some of those are going to be good, but not necessarily the way that it's going to be done. And I think the large majority of them are not going to be good. Back to the tax bill, I think that the experts, both I should say the nonpartisan experts, people who are not Republican or Democrats, have stated multiple times that the tax bill, as it is going to increase the deficit by a trillion dollars. And of course, you know, what's another $1 trillion when we're already what? Is it 15 trillion? What's our current deficit right now? I got to put the current U.S. deficit because we don't want anybody else's. So right now, we have about a $4 trillion. So what's another, you know, what's another 25%? Let's see. All right. Anyway. So we'll see. We'll see. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how things work out. All right. So having said that, I do want to talk a little bit about some, I think, really good news. And this is something that can affect everybody who is in business, right? And so whether you're a school teacher, a plumber, a doctor, a lawyer, I have something I want you to think about. And that is being a consultant. All right, so here's a tip. Here's the deal. According to Forbes, consulting is $100 billion per year industry. And this is why this might be important to you. You probably hear all the time that the big thing is making money online, you know, the internet marketing stuff. And according to market research, Ad Age, Inc., and some other independent market research, the internet marketing is about a $20 billion a year industry. The direct mail industry is about another $50 billion a year. All right. Consulting, as I mentioned earlier, is a roughly $100 billion a year industry. And here's the kicker. It's growing by 83% a year. So no matter what the economy is, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that consulting is predicted to grow 83% by 2018. Now, this report that I'm reading came out in 2015. So, you know, whatever, take that with a little, you know, grain of salt there. But either way, it's the fastest growing industry. So no matter what the economy is doing, the consulting industry still grows. No matter what is happening. I want you to think about that. So let's say that you own a restaurant. Could you be a consultant to other restaurants, to people who are thinking about becoming a restaurant or opening up a restaurant? Could you be teaching a class on you know, restaurant management? Same thing for a plumber, same thing for a teacher. There is a teacher that started her little consulting practice, and as you probably know this, teachers every year have to have a certain amount of curriculum, a certain amount of lessons. And so they put together a lesson plan, which apparently is a big pain in the butt. And this teacher, she did a lesson plan, and I think she's a third grade teacher. So she did a third grade lesson plan. And she sells it for $10. And so it's the whole lesson, all the lessons for the year for $10. And that's how she started. I think she did an extra $40,000 or $50,000 worth of revenue that way. Not bad. Now she's up to like, you know, first through 12th grade, and she's doing a couple hundred thousand or maybe a, you know, gazillion dollars, whatever. So something to think about. No matter what you're in, you could be helping other people save time and money. All right, so let's talk about this. Look, I want to give you some reasons that I want you to think about consulting. So consulting has or can have a recurring monthly income. All right, so a lot of people think that consulting is done on an hourly basis, and I think that's the worst way to do it. I think that you should set your stuff up on a, your consulting, you should do it on a per project basis. And depending on whether somebody is going to, if you're going to teach somebody something one-on-one basis, then there's a project fee for that, right? So if you're going to teach somebody how to cook or how to be a plumber, or how to set up your lessons or grow plants, then, you know, if you're going to take the personal time to teach them that, then that should be a fee for that, right? Do it a flat fee, and it's easier to sell, number one. Number two, make sure that, you know, if it's going to take you 40 hours and you want to get, let's say, $100 per hour, that's $4,000. So, you know, sell it for $5,000. It gives you a little bit of room to negotiate. Now, so it can give you a monthly recurring income because you can break it up into monthlies, right? You can give somebody, hey, I'm going to help you out for the next 6 months. You're going to pay me, you know, X amount of dollars per month. All right. So that's something to think about. The other thing is that you can create an online course, a downloadable digital course. And this online course, this digital course, is, again, giving you the teacher example. She can, She can sell these online courses, again, generating a monthly recurring income without taking any more of your time. That to me is a great way to do consulting, a fantastic way, right? Because in a lot of situations, you have the same information. People are going to ask you the same questions. People are going to need the same kind of help. And so if you can put it down into a downloadable report, a series of videos, then you can, of course, save yourself time, money, and create this monthly recurring income. The other thing that that you can think about doing is maybe putting on what I say, you know, call it a workshop, call it a seminar, and it doesn't have to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. You can have five or six people. I do those all the time. I'll have five or six people fly out to Phoenix, spend 2 or 3 days with me. We work on their business, and then they fly home. So it doesn't take, you don't need a huge seminar, right? You can do this just about on every level, on any level. So again, it's a growing industry. You can create on recurring income. You can do online digital downloads, so it doesn't take your time. You can do the one-on-one stuff. You can do small workshops or seminars, if you will. And all of the stuff is not that hard to do. And speaking of putting on workshops, if you will, our guest today, Mark Winters, has done 500 full-day workshops, and we're going to find out what it is he does and how he can help your business take off like a rocket. Mark Winters is passionate about helping entrepreneurs get unstuck so they can pursue their freedom. depending on the unique situation. Mark's talent for introducing just the right combination of perspective and process sparks teams to start moving, move faster, or begin moving in the proper direction with clarity. As a teacher, coach, and facilitator, Mark spends most of his time directly engaged with entrepreneurial leadership teams as a certified EOS implementer, helping them implement EOS in their own companies. He's delivered over 500 full-day EOS workshops with companies from around the U.S. Mark Winters, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Good to be on here with you.
It's good to be here. And, you know, I mentioned EOS here a couple of times. Why don't you tell people exactly what EOS stands for?
Sure. So EOS stands for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And if you want to think about what it is, it's a system to run your business that will help you achieve three things that we call vision, traction, and healthy, where vision means you're crystal clear on where it is you're trying to go and how you're going to get there. And then everybody in the organization, side to side, top to bottom, is all 100% on the same page about what that looks like. Traction means that the reality that you step into every day begins to look more and more like that picture. So you have this sense that you're making progress, which gives you more confidence. That confidence gives you more energy to tackle whatever challenges the day brings to you. And then finally, healthy is about the team. So when you're sitting there with your team and you're looking across the room into the eyes of the folks that are on this team with you, you should have a feeling of confidence that you have the right folks there to do the stuff that you need to get done. And there's nothing you can't talk about. You're not afraid to bring things up. You bring it up, you put it on the table, you talk it through. And as a team, you figure out how to work with it, use it to help you get closer to that place that you all are trying to get together. So that's what EOS is all about.
I love it. Okay, so just in case you guys are not familiar with Mark Winters, Mark Winters is one of the authors, along with his partner Gino Wickman. They wrote a couple of different books that I'm aware of. One of them, Rocket Fuel. Rocket Fuel is the one essential combination that will get you more of what you want from your business, available at Amazon. And what I love about Rocket Fuel is that it's really a blueprint. It's just nuts and bolts. This is what you do. Here are the steps. Just do it.
That's what you love about Rocket Fuel?
Yes. Go ahead.
So I was just going to ask. So have you done it? Have you followed the process that we laid out in Rocket Fuel?
Well, so part of the way the audience is up with us. One of the things that you guys talk about in Rocket Fuel, and I think this is a big aha for people listening, is that you break it up into the visionary and the integrator.
Yep.
So the visionary has the idea. The idea guy is what I refer to the visionary. And then, of course, you need to find an integrator. So I consider myself the visionary, the idea guy. And interestingly enough, after picking up your book, Mark, I have been out there hunting for my integrator. So I am doing the best I can to put that in practice. Of course, it has been rather interesting because, you know, you have to hire an integrator or you have to find one in your ranks. And interestingly enough, I had this discussion with one of my clients, and he also was trying to hire an integrator. You go through the process, you interview a bunch of people, and this is such a crucial position and stuff like that. And so, interestingly enough, he was fortunate that he had a long time assistant. And she's very, very analytical. He's the visionary. She's got that integrator type personality that is good with the details. And he had that aha moment of saying, you know what? You're no longer going to be my assistant. I want you on my team as my integrator, and you're going to help me grow the business. So as soon as she was brought on board as the integrator, he went from having one office to two offices, I think within 3 or 4 months, and their plan is to have 10 offices total. And so it's important. It's a crucial step, this integrator visionary thing. And I don't know if maybe you want to add something to it, maybe you want to introduce it a little bit better than I just did. And but it's I think it's a big aha step for a lot, for at least for me and anybody else I've talked to about this, is a very crucial step.
Awesome. So that's what I was trying to get a sense of, Bert, was just where you were in your process. So you're in the search mode, right? So you're familiar with mm-hmm. it now. We talk about sort of three big phases that somebody moves through along this pathway. The first one is to crystallize their thinking, which means I got to understand what an integrator is and decide whether or not it can help me. The second phase is to connect with that counterpart, right? Which is a whole process to sort of look at yourself, figure out, you know, where you're at, what you want, and then find this match, this ideal match for you. And I want you to think about it as almost a two-piece puzzle that we're trying to fit together. And then the third part is, once you are together, then is to maximize that relationship. So you're in what we would call the connect phase. For your audience, you know, maybe kind of back up for just a second, the visionary and the integrator are the two leaders at the helm of the organization that are very different but very complementary of each other. So the visionary, you know, a lot of times that's the typical founding entrepreneur kind of profile there. Tons of ideas spitting out all the time. They're thinking about the future, you know, looking down the road where things are headed. They're great at talking to external, you know, big relationships, whether they're customers or, you know, strategic partners or folks in the community or whatever. And the integrator, on the other hand, is very execution focused. They're all about, you know, getting stuff done and making that vision happen and follow through and really strong, you know, leadership and management for the other folks on the leadership team to kind of help them work together and stay in sync and really get stuff done and make things happen. So, you know, that's the big picture of what it's all about. And, you know, there's this big process that you follow through where, you know, you gotta really understand where you are before you can, like the stage you're at, be clear on who you're looking for, right?
Absolutely. And I want to also emphasize this, because as I mentioned in the introduction, you spend most of your time helping people move forward. And part of that is getting that clarity, because I have come across a lot of individuals, I want to get your feedback on this, that are stuck. And when you start talking to them, they're stuck because they have no clarity. They've lost that clarity. They've lost that vision, and they're just like treading water.
For sure. I mean, for sure. If you don't know where you're trying to go, how could you possibly get there? Right. And so, so the time that you spend on the front end, getting clear on, you know, whether it's the vision for the company, you know, in the sense of EOS and what we do there, you know, we want everybody to really share that vision so that they're all, you know, have that same picture in their head. They all have the common understanding of the major path that we're planning to follow to make it happen and get there. If you don't have that clarity, then it's like, you know, people pulling in nine different directions on the same rope. You know, it's just not going anywhere good.
Yeah.
Clarity.
Well,
clarity
is key. And I think that, again, we see these small businesses where, you know, they shoot from the hip and, you know, and they'll go in one direction for a couple of, you know, for a little while, and then they pull back from that one direction and they start off in a different direction. And they waste not only valuable time and a lot of human capital, but unfortunately they waste a lot of capital, period. This is such an expensive way to build a business.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you describe it that way, because I see that behavior sometimes happen for different reasons. So one reason is the clarity thing. So they don't have a clear picture of where they're trying to go. The other situation I see it happen in, frankly, is when there is a visionary and no integrator, because the visionary, they get bored quick, man, and they will, you know, change lanes on you in a heartbeat. And we describe a phenomenon that we call organizational whiplash, you know, where the visionary looks left, you know, and so the whole organization looks left, and then, you know, the visionary looks back to the right. And then the whole organization tries to look back to the right. But by the time they get looking back to the right, the visionaries are already looking left again, because that's just what they do. You know, visionaries are, they're entertaining a lot of ideas. They're thinking about things. That's just normal for them. Just because they're thinking about it doesn't mean that that's the thing the organization should be doing on. So in that kind of situation, the integrator can be a great filter or buffer sometimes for the organization from that behavior by the visionary. We want them doing that. We want the visionary doing that. but we just want the really, you know, serious, appropriate, aligned things to kind of filter through into the organization for actual execution.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I think that's a great explanation. One of the things that I started doing in my business is whenever I get a really good idea, I write it down. And
right.
It kind of, you know, I get it out of my system, right? And because right now I don't have an integrator, so I write it down. And I might spend an hour or two just writing this down and kind of playing with the idea and all that other and all that stuff.
Yep.
And instead of getting other people involved, which I know is going to cost me time and money, I do this first. I kind of get it out of my system, and then I let it sit there and ferment. And you know, I might just let it kick there for a week or two, just kind of let it, you know, like I said, ferment and see if it really, you know, and see what I think about it a week from now or something like that. Because I have found out that if it's a good idea, it's still going to be a good idea a week from now or 2 weeks from now.
Yep.
And you know, and so I'm not going to lose anything. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt me any to do that. But what I have found is that I'm able to get that out of my system, vent that out there, and then if I'm ready to, you know, start implementing it, I my wife, bless her heart, is more of an integrator, and she doesn't want to work in the business with me, so I take it to her and I let her kind of, you know, she'll poke holes in it, or she'll tell me, "Ooh, I like that. That's a good idea. Do this." What do you call it? From there, I have a lawyer, my lawyer, who's also kind of my competent. And again, he's got a full-time business, so he can't be my integrator. I'll kick it around him over lunch or something. And that's what I've gotten, you know, what I've tried to do to slow down this, HDH, whatever call it, the ADHD type of, situation that a lot of visionaries suffer from. So, you know, anyway, so it works for me, but I wanted to bring up, go ahead.
Now, so I just want to comment on that because I think that's a fantastic discipline that you've developed there. And, I'll give you another story that kind of maybe take it to even a higher level. So you know who Dan Sullivan is?
Sure. He's like the, what do you call it? Coach, right? Dan Sullivan.
Yes. Strategic. Yeah, he's the founder of Strategic Coach. So Dan has a tool that he calls an impact filter. And here's Dan's deal. He has made a commitment. He is absolutely a hardcore visionary. I mean, you know, he's got tons of new stuff kicking out all the time and zero followers. So that's, you know, he's the picture of what this is. And so he made a commitment, made this tool that he calls an impact filter, which basically allows him to do what you're just saying that you do, which is just write down the idea. And he kind of sketches out, you know, what would need to be true for this to be a success. You know, what's important to me about it. You know, what if I don't do it? You know, just kind of some thinking, some structured thoughts like that. And so his commitment to his team is they don't have to do anything unless he provides them that, which forces him to
like
do
that.
What you're describing. It forces him to kind of think through it. And if he doesn't have enough energy for it to think through it for 15 minutes, it's not a real thing, you know?
Right.
But if he's got enough energy to think through it, then he gives that to them, and then they have a process where, you know, his person, you know, basically interprets what he says and plays it back to him to make sure that they're understanding it correctly, and they have a little back-and-forth process. But that way he can say things, he can spout off, he can do whatever without having to worry that all of a sudden he's kicked off some action on something that literally just sat in his head for about 10 seconds and passed through. You know, and he had no intention of anybody to afford, right? And that happens with a lot of visionaries. They say things out loud. The next thing you know, somebody's working on it, and that was not at all what they intended to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's talk about this because I've had this brought up a couple of different times. That what's his name? The late great Steve Jobs was, you know. Didn't have, quote, an integrator in you know, that he was able to do all the stuff. And first of all, I said, you know, my reply is, first of all, there's always an exception to the rule. And second of all, we don't know what Steve Jobs has because I wasn't part of his team, but I guarantee you he was the visionary, and he had at least one, if not multiple integrators that we just never heard about. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so when we talk about big name brand, you know, companies, I think it's important to think about their growth curve and where they were at different stages along that path, okay? So in Rocket Fuel, we point out some specific companies like Disney, like McDonald's, like Ford, like Standard Oil, like Honda, where if you go back to their entrepreneurial roots, they had a visionary and an integrator. Now, you fast forward to what that organization looks like today, and that's a whole different animal. You know, our focus, our target market, if you will, is companies that are kind of in that 10 to 250 person growth curve. They're trying to get, you know, solve the problems that you have to go from, you know, a couple of million to 50 million. And right. So that's a whole different stage, a whole different set of problems and challenges than you have when you're a $20 billion company. So I think that perspective is important. But if you think about, you know, Steve, I mean, clearly, absolutely all the challenges, all the stuff that we talk about as a visionary, I think are obvious, had all of that. How he solved for that, I think there's some evidence that at different stages he had some form of integrator. In fact, I think Wozniak was a bit of that.
Yes.
In the very, very beginning. You know, we don't call that out as a specific example in the book, though, because it's not as cut and dried as some of these other examples that we saw. You know, but you hear about some of the people that basically endured great pain working for Steve Jobs. And I think that's actually also evidence that points to the need for that buffer. Right. So if when you've got the person sort of in between that can handle and match the force of the visionary with executional power, you know, all of a sudden then it kind of tees them up and puts them more on a level to, you know, to be two halves of the same thing. And then that person is much more well-equipped to provide leadership and management, day-to-day executional oversight to the team than somebody like Steve Jobs was.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love it. I think it makes great sense. And I agree with you. I think Wozniak was probably there. And I think that, again, there's an exception to every rule. And it would be great to be able to go through there and find out all the little dips and turns and pivots that Steve Jobs experienced. You know, one of the things, again, is that Steve Jobs has also been known for kind of being really hard to work with. And,
right.
You know, and that's okay. I know a lot of people stayed there because they really enjoyed the work they were doing, and it was like a badge of honor to be able to put up with that. But a lot of people won't do that. A lot of people won't put up with that much pain or whatever. All right. Anyway, not to get too hung up on that, I wanted to ask you about this tool, the Power Index tool. And the Power Index tool, what is it? How do I use it? What is it for?
Great. So, you know, I talked about to you about kind of the overarching process that a visionary integrator go through to crystallize what can be there to get connected with each other and ultimately to maximize the relationship. In that maximize phase, you know, we have five rules that we lay out in the book that are the structure for how you take these two very different animals that are wired very differently, naturally inclined to have a lot of friction and headbutting between them. We put a structure around that lets them blend that friction into a positive force that's really the power that propels the company up. And so this power index we developed as a way for you to look at where you are right now. So we've got eight different mindsets or eight different disciplines laid out there. And on that tool, we describe what different levels of development look like, you know, all the way from if it's dysfunctional to on the high end where it's really clicking and really, really powerful. And what we want folks to do with this, Bert, is in a situation where you have a visionary and an integrator in place, what I suggest is that each of them complete this power index on their own. And so they fill it out separately, and then they bring it back together into a structure that we call a same page meeting, which is their monthly meeting for when they hash out everything and make sure that they're all 100% on the same page about everything significant. And so they walk through it in that meeting. What they'll find is on these eight different parameters, on some of them, they'll both score themselves very high as the combination. So their visionary integrator duo is scoring very high. So that's great. Keep doing more of that. They'll also have some on the list where they'll both score it very low. So then they know, okay, this is a growth area. This is someplace we need to, you know, kind of take a closer look and figure out how we can move the needle there and do better. But then they'll also find some areas where there'll be a gap in their score. So one may score it high and the other may score it low. And so that's a real strong indicator that they're not on the same page about something there. And that drives them to have the conversation that they need to have to get back on the same page. Gee, why did you score it so high? I scored it low because I see this, this, and this. And then the other person says, well, I scored it high because I see this and that. And so they can get back to the same page, get back to the shared understanding, and ultimately, you know, again, maximize the power of this visionary integrator relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And I love this. And by the way, for our listeners, you guys can access this Rocket Fuel Power Index. You can just go to moneyforlunch.com. No, I'm sorry, burtmartinez.com/rocketfuel. And this will be all part of the show notes. You'll get the information there where you can get the Rocket Fuel Power Index. You can get, you'll see links to the book. You'll get links to the audiobook if you want that. I actually have both because that's the way I learned the best. And so you can go to burtmartinez.com/rocketfuel, and you'll be able to get all the stuff that we're talking about in case you know, you're not taking enough notes or you want to just go see it. It is really neat. And I know that's a kind of a technical term. I don't want to, you know, blow you away with such huge words, but it is really neat to be able to read this information and you get a lot of ahas. All I can tell you, guys, if you've been in business for a while and maybe things aren't clicking or they haven't clicked for a while and you feel as though your business is stalled, I think Rocket Fuel will unstick you. I think that's a pretty fair analogy, wouldn't you think, Mark?
Yeah, I love that. That's really the point. You know, there's kind of two things there. Is the entrepreneur who's stuck and just can't get their business to that next level. The other one is the entrepreneur who is just sort of dying. And, I mean, they're really suffering because they took this entrepreneurial leap and, you know, they thought they were going to, you know, make more money and have more time and have a big impact and work with just people that they loved and all that. And then the reality that's around them is, they're not doing any of that. They're working harder than they ever have. They're not making very much money. They're not making a difference. They don't like the people, right? All that stuff because they've trapped themselves. And so this is a way out of that trap, back to the real promise of entrepreneurial freedom they were after in the first place when they started this thing.
Absolutely. And by the way, for those who are listening, I have firsthand knowledge that the systems that Mark discussed in this book, outlines in this book, work for professionals like attorneys and surgeons, as well as restaurateurs, you know, for any kind of business, this book should be not just read. You know, I think, Mark, there's this thing out there where you hear people saying, hey, I read a book a week or every couple of weeks, or I read 12 books a year. And that's great. But I'm really into mastering, and that's why I always buy the book and the audio book, because I want to learn it. I want to be able to implement it. If you read 100 books and do nothing, then great. You know, you might have gained some trivia. But to take this book and use it to implement into your business because you want to get unstuck, you want to move to that next level, then this is what it's worth mastering. It's worth taking this information and for the next 6 to 12 months, just mastering it so everybody's on the same page and everybody understands their power index and you know, the visionary role and the integrator role is what do you call it, well-defined, and all this stuff is essential. You know, this to me, Rocket Fuel is the book that one of my other favorite books is The E-Myth. And I think the E-Myth is good for just getting people to start breaking things into systems. And then, of course, the Rocket Fuel book would be next. I think that between those two books, you would probably be able to run a very successful business. And as you said, you know, get some of that freedom back. Because ultimately, as entrepreneurs, the reason we started a business is because not only did we think we could do it better, but, you know, we wanted to buy our freedom back. And I think the you know, if, like you said, if somebody's working and they're completely dissatisfied, check out Rocket Fuel. And I should have asked you this in the very beginning. When you and Gina were putting Rocket Fuel together, who were you thinking? Who were you writing the book for?
Well, it's for the visionary. And it's for the visionary who is one of those situations that we just described. They're not realizing the freedom that they were reaching for. But here's the process. It's funny that you describe kind of how you consume a book and you read it and you listen to it. You know, visionaries, we intentionally wrote it so that someone with a short attention span would be able to make it through the book. You know, I did the audio, and I've become a huge fan of Audible because I listen to books at a increased speed. I mean, I listen to them at like 1.5 to 2x, whatever the speaking rate is. Do you do that?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I love it.
Speed it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you can speed it up or slow it down. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So what I was going to say is, you know, for visionaries, a lot of the visionaries I work with, that ends up to be a really powerful thing because they will get through a book that they wouldn't otherwise get through. And the thing that, you know, visionaries got to do with Rocket Fuel is they got to get through it enough to decide, hey, this is something that can help me, or it's something that can't help me. If they decide something that can help me, then they go to the phase you're at, which is the search. They got to go find their integrator. And then once they're there and that integrator's on board, they hand them the book and they're like, do this, make this happen. You know, I'll help. I'll do whatever part I have. But now they've got this counterpart that can really run with it. So that's what we want to do. We want to get to where the visionary is just making stuff up. That's their sweet spot. They're spending their time there. And the integrator is just making sure that it happens. They're doing all the stuff that has to be done. And that two together is a powerful combo.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And again, here's another, what do you call it? Nice little treat or bonus. If you want, you can go to BurtMartinez.com/rocketfuel, rocket-fuel, or just put in Burt Martinez Rocket Fuel. And not only do you get the power index, there's a link there for you to get the power index. There's also a link there for the Rocket Fuel LinkedIn group. And Mark, give us an overview. What is the Rocket Fuel LinkedIn group all about?
Yeah, so it's for visionaries and integrators that are playing this game. And so they've identified themselves as one or the other, and they are either actively in a visionary integrator relationship or they're looking for one. And so we've literally got thousands of folks in that group. And so they're talking about things that are working well, things that aren't working well. You know, folks in the group are adding insight and ideas. I chime in there every once in a while. There's one thread that's for visionaries that are looking for integrators. So they're finding people that way. And there's another thread for integrators that are looking for visionaries. So, you know, that's definitely when you're in the connect phase, that's a place to go and look and see if, you know, there's somebody out there that maybe will help you, and be sure to put your situation out there. So somebody may find you. That's the community. That's the place to go if you want to figure out more about this game and get good at it.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so I want to talk about this because I mentioned this in the intro there. You know, you have implemented or you facilitated over 500 full-day EOS workshops. So talk about these workshops. Are these open to the public? Are you doing them for specific companies or a combination?
Yeah, so these are, in that number, are private implementation sessions. So that's for the leadership team of a company that is working through the specific process of implementing EOS. So there's an actual process, a structured, defined process for how we do that, you know, which is a series of days that they go through. And so that's what that's all related to. And, you know, I mean, every situation is different. You know, the faces in the room are different. The industries are different. You know, but it's interesting, the problems, the challenges are very similar, you know, and when it's, when it's figuring out how to, you know, get on the same page, it's figuring out how to get people aligned with the vision. It's figuring out how to, you know, get people to hold each other accountable, to be healthy as a team, you know, all the kind of vision, traction, healthy stuff I described at the beginning. Those challenges are surprisingly very similar company to company.
Yeah, no, I love this. Yeah, I love that. And I want to, what do you call it, mention this quote. This is by Bo Burlingham, an editor at large at Inc. magazine and author of Small Giants and Finish Big, How Great Entrepreneurs Exit Their Companies on Top. Anyway, so he says this about the book. Contrary to popular belief, it takes not one but two entrepreneurs to build a great company, and they have dramatically different roles. In this brilliant book, Gino and Mark explain the vital importance of having both a visionary and an integrator, and show how that relationship can provide the rocket fuel your company needs to achieve its full potential. And I know that we've been saying this a lot, but I want to wake everybody up to the fact that you might be an integrator yourself, and maybe that's kind of why your business is stuck. You've integrated it, it's great, but now maybe you need to find yourself a visionary to take it to that next level, to help you achieve the vision that maybe you had. Vice versa, I think that a lot of us are visionaries and we have this idea in our heads, but we can't, again, if you're stuck, you've maybe reached a certain level, you've been at that level for a few years or whatever, then I urge you to check out Rocket Fuel and hook up in the LinkedIn group and download the Rocket Fuel Power Index and see where you stand on this. It's such a, I think it's kind of a neat idea that, to have this other part. And what's interesting is once you think about this, it makes total sense. But it's funny to me, Mark, that it seems like nobody's mentioned it before. Nobody knew about it. You know, it's one of those ideas that, you know, when you hear about it, it makes total sense, but it's certainly not a no-brainer, because it seemed like nobody was doing this until you guys started making it a thing.
Yeah, so that's why we wanted to use those classic examples in the book of companies like McDonald's and Disney and Standard Oil and Ford and Honda. It's because it is sort of an ageless concept. It's just not obvious, not visible what's really going
right on
there. And so, you know, it's just putting some language around it, putting some structure around it, and a way to, if this is something that makes sense to you, that you can pull it off and you can do it. And frankly, it was born from watching it work. So when we see, you know, company A that doesn't do this and kind of fumbles along because you've got this visionary that just can't execute, continually having a new idea and a new idea and a new idea, but not getting traction with any of them, and running their leadership team members off again and again because they're not good managers, versus company B, where you've got the same visionary out there doing this thing that they do, but you've got a strong integrator in between that's taken the best of those ideas and then is just an artist when it comes to being a manager and working the leadership team. The leadership team feels great because they know the expectations are clear. They are getting the support that they need. They've got somebody there to help them when they need it. And they're consistent, they're focused, right? I mean, it's just a whole different experience. And so when we watched those two companies compete again and again, we saw, you know, the one with the visionary and the integrator just left the other one in the dust.
Sure. And to me, this is, again, one of those things that, the more I thought about it, I could look back and see where if I had an integrator, you know, a year ago, 18 months ago, where my business might have been better, different. Anyway, so this is why I'm so excited about the book, and I certainly appreciate you coming on and helping explain the book. I think, again, it's a fantastic tool. And if you get the book or you get the Audible, you know, it's going to help your business dramatically, and it's something that it isn't necessarily hard. I don't think right now the hardest thing is, in my case, for instance, is finding that integrator that I'm looking for, somebody that I feel is worthy enough, for me to pay them and bring them in and stuff like that. And I think that might be the hardest step. Mark, and what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, it's interesting. The stats that we looked at would indicate that there's a ratio of about 4 visionary types for every 1 integrator type. So the integrator type is also kind of the scarce commodity in this equation, and recognize that that 1 integrator would not be a great match for all 4 of those visionaries, because we've got to fit them together. So a couple of things, Bert, I think would be helpful resources for your people along that path. You know, number one, we've got assessments that you can take, to figure out if you are more visionary or integrator. You know, your people should be taking those, and that's a way that you can use to evaluate integrators that you may be looking at, and so how well they fit with you. And also resources just to kind of get the word out there. In the book, we spell out a 7-step process for connecting with your ideal integrator. So that's the process you need to go through, but some resources that can help you. You know, number one, that LinkedIn community we talked about, definitely go there, get involved there, put the word out there, and look and see if somebody might be an integrator looking for something just like what you've got that's already in there. Second thing is, look at LinkedIn. So what we've noticed since the book came out, people are literally starting to change the title on their LinkedIn profile to integrator. So, I mean, they're totally taking it seriously. People are doing searches specifically for integrators. So you can search LinkedIn. You may be able to find some folks there, or put some, put the word out there. And then the third thing is, we're seeing in the search firm community, some search firms that are beginning to actually specialize in this. So they're organizing their firm around being great at finding integrators. And so, you know, on our website in the resources section, there's links to this stuff. And, so some of those different approaches, depending on your situation, may be helpful in getting through. I think you're dead on. It's certainly the first difficult challenge that you meet is getting connected, getting paired up.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't want to make it sound like, it's any harder than anything else. When you're trying to hire a manager for your business, when you're trying to hire a salesperson, when you're trying to hire, somebody, anybody that you hire should be a process. Because they're important to your team. Otherwise, you wouldn't be hiring them. So I do want to just throw that in there. I don't think it's going to be any harder than anything else. I mentioned that I had this attorney. I've had this attorney for years. And before I hired him, I think I must have taken, I don't know, I want to say almost a year. I interviewed a lot of attorneys before I hired one. And so it's just, I just believe that, it's just what it takes to find really good people. There's an old saying, you hire slow and you fire fast. And I think, this is no different. It is an important position. And I think it's interesting that you mentioned, Mark, that you have search firms now that have this integrator, specialization, and that people are putting integrator in on their LinkedIn profile. I had not noticed that, but I'm going to start looking for that. But it makes total sense, because it's become a thing, and I think also it will help carry a conversation forward. Because you can immediately say, hey, are you more of a visionary or an integrator? No, I'm an integrator. Great. And there's nothing wrong with having collaborating with other visionaries. They might be able to help you with your vision. And there's certainly nothing wrong with having collaborating with integrators, because they're going to give you some tips and strategies as well that are working for them. So either way, it's all good.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we're just made to do different things, and it's all about figuring out what you're great at, and then surrounding yourself with folks that are great at the other stuff, so that you can spend, more of your time just in that stuff you are meant to be doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So one more time, guys, go to BertMartinez.com/rocket-fuel, or just rocket. I'm going to change that. So just go to BertMartinez.com/rocket, and you'll be able to see the interview with Mark. You'll be able to see the connect with the LinkedIn group there, be able to get the Power Index tool there. If you want to get a copy of the book, it'll be there as well. So it'll serve multiple purposes. And I also want to talk about this before we go. You have another book that you guys did, and it was where's my notes? I've lost it here. Where is it at? Talk about the other book. I've just misplaced my notes.
Yes. So there's not another
Traction.
Book
That's
that
good.
I did. Yeah. So Gino wrote
okay.
Traction. So I can't take
gotcha.
Credit for that, but Gino could take credit for it. And you know, what I'll say about it is you can think about it as the textbook for EOS. So we talked about, you know, the Entrepreneur Operating System at the beginning there. And so Traction is the book that lays that out in detail. And so if you want to understand what EOS is all about, that is the place to go for that.
Gotcha. Okay. So Rocket Fuel is what we've been talking about today with co-author Mark Winters. And if you want to find out more about Rocket Fuel, if you want to get the book or the audio, you can go to burtmartinez.com/rocket. And you'll get to also have the links there for the LinkedIn group, which sounds like a fantastic place to go. I will be joining that later today. It will also have access to the Power Index tool. Yep. And then, of course, copy of the book will be there as well. Mark, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by and spending some time with us and letting us get to know a little bit about you as well as Rocket Fuel.
Hey, thank you, Bert. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. Good luck with your search.
All right. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. A great show with Mark Winters. The book, again, is Rocket Fuel. And Rocket Fuel is all about implementing EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, Entrepreneur Operating System, which I love that, EOS. And bottom line is, it's really about separating your business into two ways or two strategies, right? You have the visionary strategy and you have the integrator strategy. And of course, there's a couple of different layers in there, making sure that everybody's is on the same page, that there's clarity. And we have talked about clarity before, the importance of clarity, and that if you're stuck, you're most likely not clear as what to do or how to do it. And maybe you need some help. So check out this interview, share it with your friends, go to burtmartinez.com/rocket, and you can get the Amazon book there, you can get the Audible book there, you can get the LinkedIn information there, and you can get the index information there as well. So we want to help you grow your business. We appreciate you listening today. And again, share this with your fellow entrepreneurs, maybe your visionaries, maybe you know an integrator. Either way, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.